This week we begin a new season of the church year called the Epiphany season. Epiphany means appearing or showing, and what we concentrate on during the next few weeks is the fact that Jesus wasn't just a man, he really is the Son of God. Tonight we're going to study the wise men's visit to Jesus and see how they understood that Jesus wasn't just a man, they knew him to be the King of the Jews. And by God's grace, you and I know the same thing. We know who Jesus is, we know what he's done for us, and we put our faith in him. We worship in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Be gracious to me, God, according to your mercy. Scrub me clean from my guilt, for I admit my rebellious acts. Against you, you only have I sinned. So you are justified when you sentence me. Certainly I was guilty when I was born. Since you desire truth on the inside, remove my sin with hyssop and I will be clean. Let me hear joy and gladness. Hide your face from my sins. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Do not cast me from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. I will teach rebels your ways. Lord, open my lips. Brothers and sisters in Christ, each of us is born into this world with a deep need for Jesus, our Savior from sin. Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess that I have not loved you with all my heart, and what I have done and left undone, I have pursued my ways instead of your ways. I have not loved my brothers and sisters as myself. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. I am truly sorry for my sins. I repent of them. I beg for your mercy, O Lord. God gave his word so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross to pay for all of your sins, and rose again to assure you of your salvation. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is an Old Testament reading from Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. Isaiah here talks about the Lord's glory and how that shines for all people. Jesus is described here as the light and darkness, that is sin. This is a prophecy about Jesus coming into the world, and of course you and I can see how all of this has been fulfilled, how Jesus has the glory, and how we honor him with our lives. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you. Look, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness covers the peoples. But the Lord will dawn upon you, and his glory will be seen over you. Nations will walk to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Look up, look all around and see. All of them have been gathered. They are coming to you. Your sons will come from far away, and people will carry your daughters on their side. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will race with excitement and burst with joy. For great riches from the sea will be delivered to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. Caravans of camels will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They will carry gold and incense, and they will announce the good news of the praise of the Lord. Our psalm reading is part of Psalm 72. This one reminds us that Jesus is our King. God, give your authority to judge to the King. He will judge your people with righteousness. He will obtain justice for the afflicted among the people. They will fear you as long as the sun remains. He will come down like rain on a mown field. All kings will bow down to him. They will be blessed through him. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Our second scripture reading is from Ephesians 3, verses 2 through 12. It was hard for the Jews of Jesus' day to understand that the Messiah, the Savior who was coming, was for more than the Jews. Jesus, of course, came to save all people. And the Apostle Paul understood that. And that's what he talks about here in these verses. Some may not have understood it as if it were a mystery to them, but Jesus tells them the truth. God's salvation is for all. Surely you have heard of the administration of God's grace given to me for you, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. When you read this, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This mystery was not made known to people in past generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that in Christ Jesus, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and people who also share in the promise through the gospel. I became a servant of this gospel in keeping with the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. To me, even though I am the very least of all the saints, was given this grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to enlighten everyone about the administration of this mystery. In past ages, this mystery remained hidden in God who created all things. He did this so that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was done according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him we can freely approach God with confidence through faith in him. From infancy, you and I have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. God's word for our study is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 2, the visit of the wise men to see Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Dear fellow believers, when you and I read our Bibles, we come across a lot of different Bible characters. And quite often, you can say the name of a Bible character and then you'll remember something special about them. So if I say Noah, then you're already thinking about the ark. If I say Moses, he's the one that got the Ten Commandments. Abraham and Sarah, well, they're the ones that had a miracle baby named Isaac. Joseph, that's the coat of many colors. Job, he was the one with all the problems. And Solomon, the son of David, who built the temple, who ruled as king, the word that I think about for Solomon is wise. Solomon was one of the wisest kings that ever lived. And he used that wisdom for his rule over the people. But the spiritual wisdom that he had, that was really the most important thing. Well, you and I have been given wisdom too. We have an intellect, we have our human minds, we're able to function and do things in our daily lives. But spiritual wisdom, that's the most important, and you and I have received that by faith. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about the wise men and their visit to Jesus and how their life really isn't much different than ours. Like the wise men, you and I are to put our faith in Jesus and then do two things. We worship him, and then we serve him. There's a lot of information out there about the wise men, some the Bible gives us and some people kind of speculate about, I guess. The timing of the wise men, for example. If you would look at any nativity scene, most of them have the shepherds and a couple animals and Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And then a lot of them have three wise men with their three gifts. Well, it gives the appearance that the wise men were there on the night that Jesus was born. But notice in our Bible reading, it doesn't talk about baby Jesus in the barn. It talks about the wise men going to a house and seeing the child. So this is probably 2 years later, and I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. So there's wise men were probably not there on the night that Jesus was born. It came later. How many wise men were there? Well, a lot of times in the nativity scene, again, there's three wise men, I suppose, because there's three gifts. But all the word is plural. Could have been two, could have been ten. We don't know for sure. Where do these men come from? Well, some say the Orient, some far eastern place, and the Bible doesn't really tell us. One of the clues that we have that could give us some more information is the word magi, is a Babylonian word that means wise men. You remember God's people, the Israelites, they were slaves in Egypt, exiles there for a while. So it's possible that these men heard about God through Daniel, the prophet who was there, and all that information got passed down. Maybe that's how they found out about these things, if they were from Babylon. But again, doesn't really matter where they were from. What do we know for sure about these wise men? We know that they were believers, and they're Gentile men. They were not Jews. So they had learned the prophecies in the Bible about the coming Savior, and they took it so seriously that when God put a star in the sky, a special star that they had not seen before, that they were willing to follow it because they knew that it was going to take them to the Christ child. These men were intelligent. They seem wealthy. They seem well-respected. And they're honoring Jesus by trying to come and find him, so as they said, that they could come and worship him too. Here's what happens. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then when they get there, when they saw the child, Jesus, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Notice what these wise men are doing. They're making this big trip. If they came from Babylon, it's about 500 miles on my Bible map one way. That's a long time. Away from their families, making this big trip, bringing these gifts to Jesus that we'll talk about. And then these men are bowing down to a 2-year-old child. But it wasn't just any child. They were honoring Jesus because he was coming into the world. King Herod is part of this Bible reading too, and he hears what the wise men say when they ask, where's the one that's been born King of the Jews? And Herod automatically thinks that there's someone coming in to take his throne, and he's alarmed. King James says he's disturbed at what's going on here because he thinks this is an enemy of his. And he asks the wise men, he says, well, you find him. You tell him tell me where he's at, and then I can go and worship him too. But Herod didn't really want to do that. He wanted to take out anyone that might take away his earthly throne. By God's grace, you and I have wisdom about Jesus. God has given us faith at the time that we were baptized or later on in our lives, and He's given us that faith so that we can know who Jesus is and what He has done for us. And as the wise men came to worship Him, that's what we do too. That's why we're here tonight. We're here to worship our Savior. We do that through our singing. We do it through our prayers. We do it as we study God's Word together. We worship Jesus as we live as Christians each day of our lives, and we're thankful for that. And it's all because, like the wise men, we're putting our faith in Jesus and the things that He has done to save us. And as we believe those things, it's only natural that we want to worship Him. Did you notice something about King Herod? He has no clue who Jesus is. He's the king of the land. He has all these other people around him, all these advisors, all these other people who could help him out with information. None of them know anything about Jesus. Well, it wasn't because the information wasn't out there. It had been since the beginning. But maybe they just weren't paying attention to spiritual things, only earthly things. There's a lot of people today that have no knowledge of Jesus. We watched the Wells Connection in the month of December, and it was about the new seminary in Vietnam that our synod was able to build there. And these Hmong pastors, the Hmong people, these pastors came to do studying. They didn't know the truth about the Bible. And now they're studying, and they're learning that Jesus is the Savior and the way of getting home to heaven. And now they were so excited to having finished their studies, now they can go back knowing it themselves and then share it with other people. Well, there's still people around us today. Even in our modern world with all the technology, there are people that celebrated Christmas not really knowing what it's about. There are people that will spend their lives not really understanding who the Savior is and what He's done for us. And then on the other side, there's people that know all about Jesus, but they take it for granted. It's no big deal. They know all about what Jesus has done for them, and it's not something that they really think is important in their lives. The devil's hard at work, isn't he? He's trying to keep this group of people from knowing who Jesus is, and another group of people that know who He is, he's trying to tell them it's not a big deal. And the devil tries those tricks on us too. He wants us to take our faith for granted, or to think that as we go through these seasons of the year, that we know that already, so we don't really have to pay attention. He wants us to think that we don't have to get too excited about what the Savior has done for us because we know all those things already. But the wise men, they show us something about faith. They were so thankful that the Savior had come into the world that they were ready to do anything and go anywhere just to see Him and worship Him. And that's the kind of attitude that God wants in us too. To realize that our faith is so special that we'll do anything to worship Him and show Him our thankfulness. Like the wise men, we're putting our faith in Jesus, we're worshiping Him, and we are serving Him. When the wise men came to see Jesus, they had these special gifts for Him. And they brought Him gold, for example. That would be like having money. They brought Him frankincense or incense, which was something that was burned and had a special fragrance to it. And then myrrh was a costly perfume. And they came there to where Jesus was at this house, and they're bowing down and worshiping Him because they realized that this is the one that God had promised to send into the world. Well, that was a great thing for Jesus to honor Him in that way and to serve Him in that way. But there was something else that was even more important. Remember how Herod wants the wise men to find Jesus and then come back and tell him where Jesus is so he can come and worship Him. And that's a lie. The wise men would have done it. They didn't have any idea that Herod wanted to kill Jesus. So God had to give these wise men a dream or a warning. And He had to show them that this was not something that God wanted them to do. Here's what it says in our Bible reading. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Normally, you would obey the king of the land. You would do exactly as he said. But these wise men realized that what Herod wanted to do was not good. And so instead of going back to Jerusalem and Herod, they went around Jerusalem and went back home a different way so that they wouldn't be found out. And then this happens. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and younger. Because the wise men left without telling Herod, Mary and Joseph and the boy Jesus, they had a chance to get away. They had to leave and go to Egypt for 2 years. And then Herod kills all the boys. Can you imagine that? 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem, the vicinity around there. He wants to get rid of this so-called king. And he didn't. He just murdered a bunch of harmless children. The wise men served Jesus, not just with the gifts, but by serving him and protecting him from Herod and this danger that God had to tell them about. God gives you and I the privilege of serving him too. We do that when we bring our offerings to church. We give an offering based on our faith and how God has blessed us, and we use that money to support our ministry here. We have gifts where we can serve the Lord, not just with offerings, but maybe it's on a work day. Maybe it's at a funeral dinner. Maybe it's on a committee or doing something else around the church. You and I serve the Lord when we speak about him and about our faith, and we're ready and willing to talk to people about our Savior. We're also serving the Lord when we want to protect what God has given us. So many people want to make fun of out of the Bible and change it and add things to it. And when you and I can speak in a simple way about the truth of God's Word and show it in our own lives, we're defending that truth that God has given to us. Like the wise men, we put our faith in Jesus, we worship him, and then we spend our lives here serving the Lord. I think it would be interesting sometimes to ask people that attend churches, you know, why they go. I'm sure somebody would say, well, it's the day I'm supposed to go, Thursday night or whatever night it is, and Sunday, that's the time I have to go. So it's their habit, and that's why they go. Maybe somebody else says, well, I go because my family wants me to go. My wife wants me to go. My husband wants me to go. Maybe somebody else says, well, I go to church so I don't get into any trouble. Or maybe somebody else says, well, I have to go out of obligation. It's something that I have to do. Well, I don't know that those are any good reasons for going to church. If it's my habit, or somebody else wants me to, or I don't want to get into trouble, or I just have this obligation. Those excuses that people sometimes give about why they come to church, the devil tempts us with things like that too, doesn't he? Maybe we sometimes think, I have to go to church, and we're obligated, or I better go because of someone in the family, or I'm going to go, but I'm not going to like it. The devil tempts us with all those different kinds of attitudes. And again, when we have our faith, our attitude about spiritual things is not because I have to. This is what I want to do. Look at what Jesus has done. Look at what he came into the world to do. And look at what you and I have because of our faith. Like those wise men, they realized how important this was. And again, it's a good example for us. This is something they wanted to do because they realized how valuable the Christ child was in their lives. God has blessed us with lots of wisdom. We thank the Lord that he has blessed us with spiritual wisdom. The truth about Jesus has made us wise for our salvation, and our lives will never be the same again because of it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Lord Jesus, you came bringing light and life and hope to a world that lies in spiritual darkness. As the wise men knelt and adored you, so we bow our hearts in praise to you, our Savior and King. You came once long ago to dwell for a time among us. Come and find a permanent place in our hearts. Forgive our sins and fill us with the joy and peace that comes through the sure hope of eternal life. Day by day, increase our appreciation and trust for all that you have done to redeem us from our sins and make peace to God with us. As the wise men brought you gifts and tokens of their worship, may we also present you with the precious fruits of our faith, hearts filled with love for you, wills bound to obey your word, minds eager to grasp the truths of salvation, and lips ready to declare those truths to others, hands that are willing to give help where it's needed, earthly treasures freely shared with you, and finally, senses ever alert to the sights and sounds of your reappearing. Dear Jesus, praise be also to the Father in heaven, who by sending you to be our Savior, has commanded the light of hope of everlasting life to continue to shine in this sinful world. Praise be to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings people to faith and gives them that comfort of salvation. Dear Jesus, shine your bright gospel beam of life and salvation to all people. Lead us out at last of this evil world of darkness to our permanent home in heaven. We ask these things in your name, as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We give thanks to you, O God, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. Through him you made all things. In him you are well pleased. He is the incarnate Word, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. To fulfill your promises, he stretched out his hands on the cross and released from eternal death all who believe in you. As we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your Son's body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one, and strengthen our faith so that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we glorify and honor you, O God our Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.